I'm so glad you're joining me for another week of our 4.5 year verse-by-verse journey through all of God's inspired word. And I'm going to invite you to go back to two passages that are parallel with one another. Hopefully you have the opportunity to bounce back and forth between the two of them. That would be 1 Kings chapter number 6 and 2 Chronicles chapter number 3. Now, this is the description of the building of the temple by King Solomon using the plans given to King David by the Holy Spirit. Now, just reading the material here, it is hard to perfectly visualize this building. We like to have blueprints and the drawings that go along with these things. But even trying to do that is difficult because we don't have all the fine details. So as we go through this, I'm going to emphasize the things we know for certain and suggest to you some of the logistical methods and arrangements that may bring this thing to reality. We will have to wait, I think, until we get into eternity and hope that the Lord gives us a replay of history before we can see some of these things with our own eyes. But that's just a dream of my own. So with that in mind, let me repeat a few of the things that we went over last time very quickly and then move ahead with some of the newer material. First of all, from 2 Chronicles chapter number 3, verse 3, we learn this. These are Solomon's measurements for building the house of God. The length in cubits of the old standard. And so the emphasis there is on the longer cubit. So we can't use the 18-inch one. We have to use the one that's basically 20.7 inches. And so I have done a little spreadsheet and printed out for my own use measurements using that long cubit. 1 Kings chapter 6 started out with, in the 480th year after the people of Israel came out of the land of Egypt. So we know that this is during the 480th year since the Exodus. And I put that down to happening in 971 BC. In the fourth year of Solomon's reign over Israel, and I believe that's from the time that David had him declared king of Israel. And so he has served as king for 4 years already, but he hasn't built the temple. And the reason for that appears to be that we had to wait till David was dead before any actual construction on the temple began, because God had banned David from having any direct building connection. He could gather materials all he wanted, and he did that. He could do the plans from the Holy Spirit's leadership. He did that. But he was not allowed to be involved in any way, shape, or form in the building process. So we waited until he was dead, which is probably why we read the next thing, that it was in the month of Ziv, which is the second month, that he began to build the house of He Who Is. So I'm guessing that David probably died in the late winter or maybe the spring that preceded that particular month. And then Solomon, after the time of grieving over David, then laid the foundation and began the building process. And by the way, there's another passage that specifies that the foundation was laid on the second month, or excuse me, the second day of the second month, which is Ziv. And so that translates out into basically the middle of April in 977 BC. So those are my calculations. So now we've got it building. The building process has begun. Now it will have a two-year break because there will be the sabbatical year that comes up in the fall of the 481st year of the Exodus, and that will then immediately be followed by the ninth year of Jubilee because of the timing of when this all begins. So there will be 2 years, no work. But here we have the description of the work that happened. Now we have the basic description of the temple in the following. It was 60 cubits long, 20 cubits wide, 30 cubits high. Now that's, I think, the interior measurements for the holy place and then the Holy of Holies at the back side of the holy place. That translates out as, let's see here, make sure I get it right. In the long cubit, that's basically 103.5 feet long, east to west. It is then 20 cubits wide, which is 34.5 feet. And then the ceiling is 51 and 3/4 feet above the floor. So those are all interior measurements. Now, in front of the temple, there is something called the vestibule, which is, in other places, we will refer to it as the porch. I like to refer to it as the entry tower or the front tower because it is, the dimensions of it are given over in 2 Chronicles 3:4 very well. The vestibule, or you know, the front tower, in front of the nave of the house. Nave is the fancy term for the holy place and the interior Holy of Holies. So in front of that, there's this vestibule. It was 20 cubits long, equal to the width of the house. So that means when you walk across it to go into the holy place, that's 20 cubits across, which is exactly how wide the holy place is as well. So that's 34.5 feet. And then it states that its height was 120 cubits. So that's the tower part of it. That's 207 feet above ground level. So this allows the people coming to worship to see the temple building from far, far away. It also is symbolic of the connection, I think, between the people here on earth and the God whom they serve and worship in the heavenly realms. And so all of that is a good starter for how we describe the temple. Now, in the 1 Kings passage, this I'm not going to read all the details of this because we did it last time. There is a storage annex that wraps around the holy place and the Holy of Holies, the nave, if you will. And it has three levels of storage rooms. We know that the bottom level is narrower than the second level, and the second level is narrower than the top level. This is because there's a stair-stepped support platform against the exterior wall of the temple proper, because we are told in the end of verse 6 in 1 Chronicles 6 that he made offsets on the wall in order that the supporting beam should not be inserted into the walls of the house. So he did not want to damage the stone shell around the holy place and the Holy of Holies. But he still had the design given to him by his father David of this three-level storage annex. And the bottom level, those rooms, were only 5 cubits from the wall out to the door. And so that's basically just a little over 8.5 feet. They end up being about that tall in each level of the three. And then according to tradition, they were 5 cubits wide as well, all of them. So that would mean that the bottom level was basically a cube in each of these rooms. The tradition also is, and this is kind of matching up with some of the other descriptions of later temples that were either built or should have been built, that there were 30 of these rooms surrounding the temple building on three levels. So a total of 60 rooms for storage. Now, what was put in there? Well, probably some of the dedicated materials, the dedicated donations were put in here, but certainly also the things that the priests would need in order to do their daily work. So oil and grain and the clothing that they would use were probably all in these things. One last reminder to you from 1 Kings chapter 6, 7, and that is when the house was built, it was with stone prepared at the quarry so that neither hammer nor axe nor any tool of iron was heard in the house while it was being built. So basically, Solomon ordered his people, you get everything matched up off-site and then marked so that when it comes to the Temple Mount, it basically just fits together. There doesn't need to be any trimming. There doesn't need to be any type of additional work done on it. And so that's a very interesting thing that plays into the story of the rejected cornerstone. And we'll talk about that later. Let's pick up at 1 Kings 6:11 now. Now the word of he who is came to Solomon concerning this house that you are building. If you will walk in my statutes, obey my rules, and keep all my commandments and walk in them, then I will establish my word with you, which I spoke to David your father, and I will dwell among the children of Israel and will not forsake my people Israel. So this is kind of a repetition of something God said to Solomon shortly before this, when Solomon was at Gibeon and worshiping God for the very first time as the solo king, and God reminded him that his kingship and the kingship of his descendants was conditional on obeying God's word and doing things God's way. But here we have an addition that God's dwelling in symbolic form at the temple will also be conditional. His holy presence will flood into the dedicated temple once they're done with it, and will remain there until the sins of Israel become so bad that God, during the time of Ezekiel, gives a vision of his glory leaving the temple building. And that fits this verse 13 that his presence there was conditional. Okay, verse number 14. So Solomon built the house and he finished it. That's jumping ahead, but don't worry, we're just basically reading the overall information here. He lined the walls of the house and the inside with boards of cedar. From the floor of the house to the walls of the ceiling, he covered them on the inside with wood, and he covered the floor of the house with boards of cypress. So there is no bare limestone showing anywhere on the inside of the temple, because it's all paneled with fine cedar paneling on the walls and the ceiling, and fine cypress flooring on the bottom over the stones form the foundation of the temple. But then we have the details of how the Holy of Holies is built at the backside of the holy place. Verse 16, he built 20 cubits of the rear of the house with boards of cedar from the floor to the walls, and he built this within as an inner sanctuary as the most holy place. So the Holy of Holies, as other Bibles will refer to it. So he panels the entire inside of the 60 by 20 by 30 cubits holy place. And then at the back bottom of that, and when we say back, we're talking about the western end, he builds with wood, cedar wood, the 20 by 20 by 20 cubit holy of holies. So that's 17 and a quarter feet by 17 and a quarter feet, 17 and a quarter feet. So he's now got that Holy of Holies back there at the back. Now, verse 17. The house, that is the nave in front of the whole of the inner sanctuary, was 40 cubits long. That's talking about the floor space, because the Holy of Holies has a footprint at the back of 20 by 20. So 40 cubits is all that's left in the floor footprint in front of that. So basically from the front entry door to the opening gate or the opening door of the Holy of Holies is going to be 69 feet by our standards. Now listen to this detail. Verse 18, the cedar, so we're talking about the paneling on the walls. The cedar within the house was carved in the form of gourds and open flowers. So this is part of the decoration carved into that cedar paneling. Now, I don't know if it's carved into or whether or not it's carved away from around it so that it jumps out at you. I'm guessing that it may be more of that the material that's being represented jumps out at you. All was cedar, no stone was seen. The inner sanctuary, that's the Holy of Holies, he prepared in the innermost part of the house to set there the Ark of the Covenant of He Who Is. So that's where the Ark is going to live. The inner sanctuary was 20 cubits long, 20 cubits wide, 20 cubits high, and he overlaid it with pure gold. He also overlaid an altar of cedar. We'll come back to that altar later. So once the carving is done, and we're not done describing all the carving, by the way, because we might as well do that. This is from 2 Chronicles 3:7. So he lined the house with gold, its beams, its thresholds, its walls, and its doors. And he carved cherubim on the walls. Now, cherubim are real beings. They are supernatural entities. They are a form of angel, if you wish. They are four-winged and four-faced. They have a human face, a bull face, a lion face, and an eagle face. When you represent them on the wall, based on what we see in the book of Ezekiel, describing cherubim carved on the wall, you only show two of the faces facing right and left. And I believe over there it's the bull and the eagle, or the bull and the lion. I'll have to go back and recheck that to bring it in here. So again, I think that this paneling is carved in such a way that the cherubim with their wings and their faces are kind of jumping out at you. Now, once all that's done, the carving, then they have put gold over the top of all of that. And it's more than likely they bring in like super hot liquid gold and place it and smear it on the wall and smooth it out and all of that and then buff it up. It would have been amazing to see this. Back to 1 Kings 6, verse number 21. Solomon overlaid the inside of the house with pure gold. He drew chains of gold across in front of the inner sanctuary and overlaid it with gold. I'll come back and talk about what I think the purpose of those chains are later. He overlaid the whole house with gold until the house was finished. And also the whole altar that belonged to the inner sanctuary, he overlaid with gold. So that's talking about the altar of incense that sits right there at the break point between the holy place in front and the Holy of Holies in the back, where only priests are supposed to be working in the front part day by day, and only the holy high priest can go into the Holy of Holies once a year. And apparently he goes around behind this gold overlaid altar of incense to go into front of the Ark of the Covenant that's in the Holy of Holies. Verse number 23. In the inner sanctuary, so we're talking about the Holy of Holies, he made two cherubim of olive wood, each 10 cubits high. So again, the cherubim are real entities, so they're being represented here as we see them described in their reality in the book of Ezekiel. Four faces, four wings, straight legs with hooves like a cow or a calf, by the way. So he has his artisans carve these giant statues of cherubim. They are 17 and a quarter feet tall, but that's still only half the height of the Holy of Holies. So, weirdly enough, although these cherubim are gigantic, they look small inside the Holy of Holies because they're only half the height of the room. 5 cubits was the length of one wing of the cherub, and 5 cubits the length of the other wing of the cherub. It was 10 cubits from the tip of one wing to the tip of the other. And the other cubit also measured 10 cubits. Cherub measured 10 cubits. Both cherubim had the same measure in the same form. So basically, you have these two cherubim statues. Their wings are stretched out side to side inside the Holy of Holies. And they are arranged in such a way that the one wing of one touches one wall, one wing of the other touches the other wall, and the two wings on the center touch immediately over the top of where the Ark of the Covenant is going to go. And I think they're situated, they're probably turned in such a way that they end up being like a canopy over the top of where the Ark of the Covenant is. It is quite decorative. It would have been amazing to see this. Verse 26, the height of one gerub was 10 cubits, and so was that of the other gerub. He put the cherubim in the innermost part of the house. The wings of the cherubim were spread out so that a wing of one touched one wall, the wing of the other touched the other wall. Their other wings touched each other in the middle of the house. So that's what I just described, making apparently a canopy over the ark place. And then he overlaid these cherubim, which were carved out of wood, with gold. All around the walls of the house, he carved engraved figures of cherubim and palm trees and open flowers. We also saw gourds mentioned earlier in the inner and the outer rooms. So both inside the Holy of Holies and out in the holy place, we got all these carvings. The book of Ezekiel describes a similar thing in that should have been built temple. And then it's all overlaid in gold. And verse 30 says, the floor of the house, which you know is made of cypress panels, he overlaid with gold in the inner and outer rooms. So basically, when you came into this special place of service of the priests, everything was probably very shiny gold with raised carvings of very important protective angelic beings. Wow, what a place to serve. Mark your place. We'll get back to this next time we get into God's Word.